Our scripture reading will be Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
Good evening. Glad to see each one here again this evening. I'd like to express Tammy and I's gratitude for y'all having us here, and we've enjoyed our visit, and we're certainly glad that you invited us. What does it take to please God? Well, the short answer, according to what we read here, is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when we talk about pleasing God, we have to be talking about faith. So in order to understand what it takes to please God, the next question we have to answer is, what is faith? What is faith? I want to look at faith tonight from a biblical perspective. I want to see how the Bible defines faith. I want to see some examples of faith. The Bible does define faith. I mean, when someone says faith, what comes to mind? If someone asks you to describe or define faith, what words would you pick? What words would you choose? God, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, said, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." There are basically two words in this verse that define faith to a T: sure and certain. Those two words indicate what faith really is. We tell someone, "I have faith in you." In essence, what we're saying, "I'm sure that you can accomplish whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. I'm certain you're going to do whatever it is you said you're going to do. I have faith in you." You have no doubt, regardless. I mean, when we think about faith, we all demonstrate faith, not just in God every day, but in many different things. We demonstrate faith in everyday things that we do. I mean, when we get up in the morning, and if you get up before the sun's up and you hit the light switch, you have faith that the light's going to come on, don't you? Because if you don't, you know what you do when it doesn't come on? We do that. I don't know why. Same way when we turn the water on, we have faith that there's going to be water come out of the faucet. So we have faith in the water company and the power company. You have faith in the very chair you're sitting in. You walked in here today. Did you look at the chair? Did you turn it upside down? Did you make sure all the screws were in it? Make sure it was tight and not loose? Probably just sit down, right? Because you were certain that chair was going to do what it was made to do. You demonstrated faith in the chair. And if we can have faith in these things, faith that we know in things that do fail, don't they? Sometimes those things do fail. Why would our faith in God, who never fails, ever waver? Why would we ever think we couldn't trust him? We couldn't be certain in him. We couldn't be sure about what he says. Now, the Hebrew writer makes it plain that it takes this kind of faith to please God. When we go back and we look at our scripture reading for the night, and without faith it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we're going to draw near to Him, we have to believe that He exists and that He does reward those who seek Him. We can be certain of that. We can be sure of that. We don't always know the plans that God has for us. However, through faith, we do know what our eternal destiny is if we are pleasing to Him. I mean, there are only two choices in our eternal destiny. And if we choose the path of righteousness, that is our choice, we know what it's going to be. We just don't know what might lie along the path. But we can be sure that God is going to get us there, because that's our hope. And not a hope in the way the world uses hope. I hope this will happen. I hope I can do this. But our hope is in the longing and the patience while we wait for our reward. Our hope is more of an impatient longing, I guess. While we know where we're going to go, and we desire to be there, but we know there's a path to walk in order to get there. That's the hope that we have, because we know it's a promise from God, and we know God's promises never fail. And so we have that faith in Him. We are certain of what we don't see. We don't see heaven, but we're certain that it exists. We didn't walk with Jesus, but we are certain He lived, He taught, and He died on a cross for our sins. We don't see God, but we're certain that He is, that He exists. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, "Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him." I mean, we think of the amount of faith that it takes to believe in a powerful God in order to be pleasing to Him. Sometimes we think, oh, that takes an amazing faith. Jesus talks about the faith of a mustard seed, being able to move mountains. The faith the size of a mustard seed. That's pretty small. We have this faith that's pleasing to God. We have the written account of God creating this earth, and we believe it. We believe all that we read in His Word by faith, even though we don't see it with our own eyes. But it's that faith that we have that makes us pleasing to God. Oftentimes, there's one verse that's overlooked in all this, and that's verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11. "For by it," talking of faith, "the people of old received their commendation. The ancients were rewarded and commended for their faith." It seems that as time wore on, and even into modern day times, people want proof. We want to see it. They don't want to have faith. They only want to place their faith in what they can see, what they can touch, what they can smell, what they can taste. And friends, this isn't faith at all. That's not faith. We got to be certain and sure of the things that we can't see, the things that we haven't witnessed. I mean, remember the conversation Thomas had with the other apostles when he came in and they said, "We have seen Jesus." Thomas says, "I won't believe it until I can place my fingers in the holes in his hands and run my arm into his side." Thomas is saying, "I will not believe that you have seen Jesus until I can touch him, until I can see him for myself." Then Jesus appears while Thomas is there. He gets the opportunity. Look at John chapter 20 and verse 29. It says, "Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" We don't see Jesus, but yet we believe, because we know that he is. We know God's plan. We know what God has set forth. For many, many years, it seems to be getting more prevalent today. People are seeking or trying to discover the origins of the universe. We're told plainly in Scripture where it comes from. Hebrews 11 and 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." I mean, there are many theories out there of creation or how the world began. And many of the enlightened people, as they like to call themselves, wonder how we can believe such a story as Genesis. Well, I wonder how people who are enlightened as they are can believe that all of this came out of nothing, that it just happened. To me, that takes more faith. But we're told plainly where it comes from. One thing we know about Hebrews chapter 11, it's known as the Faith Hall of Fame. It lists many of the faithful, describes the faith of God's people, what they did. Abel, he offered his best to God. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering." He offered it by faith. He had faith that he was doing what God wanted him to do. Enoch walked with God, and he was taken from this life. He didn't experience death. Why? He was pleasing to God. He had faith in God, and he lived like God wanted him to live. Only he and Elijah are recorded as having this experience. Think of the faith that must take to be able to do that, to be able to have that experience. These men demonstrated faith by the way that they lived every day, and it pleased God. Also, we read about Noah pleasing God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark." You think about this. Noah, for 120 years, built this ark in a desert where, as far as we know up to this point, the world hasn't experienced what we would call rain. Probably his neighbors asking him, "What are you doing, Noah?" "Well, I'm building an ark. It's pretty big. What are you going to do with it?" "I'm going to save mankind." "From what?" "Friend, it's going to rain." "It's going to what?" "It's going to flood." "Who told you that?" "God." "Okay, Noah." See, his concern wasn't about his neighbors. His concern wasn't about what they might have thought. His concern was, "This is what God told me. This is what I'm going to do. He said, build an ark. I'm going to build an ark. And I'm going to build it exactly as the Lord told me to build it." I mean, it's amazing how much faith he had, and he was certain of what he couldn't see. But what is the key to Noah's faith? Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 said, "Noah did all that God commanded him." The Bible doesn't record Noah ever questioning God's commandments. Ever saying, "What do you want me to do that for, Lord? What's the purpose of this? Why do I have to use gopher wood? Can I use something else?" Never questioned. He did all that God commanded him. That's amazing. That's the key. You can never be wrong if you always do right. And you can always do right if you always listen to God. Always follow His instruction. And of course, Abraham pleased God. First, he was called to a country to which he didn't know. He was promised a son when he was well past the age of being a father. We watched Abraham on his journey from Ur to Haran, from Haran to Canaan. We watched him mature through these travels. We witnessed some of his failures, if you will. Not trusting God, so telling Sarah twice, "Tell them you're my sister, because if you say you're my wife, they will kill me." And then getting anxious about the promise, having a child with Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. But he continues to grow in faith to the point where Isaac, the promised child, is born. And he believes all that God says. I mean, have you ever thought about that event? I mean, here is this child that God had promised Abraham, for 25 years. And finally he comes. Now, we don't know how old Isaac is when all this takes place. I know a lot of the illustrations we have from our Bible class curriculum have an infant on the altar to God, but he was old enough to walk, to carry wood, and to talk. Because he asked Abraham, "Where is the ram for the sacrifice? We have the wood, we have the fire. Where's the ram?" And Abraham's answer is a display of faith. God will provide. And God did. Look at how the Hebrew writer describes Abraham's faith in Hebrews 11:19. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, speaking of Isaac, from which figuratively he did receive him back. He did. I mean, Isaac was as good as gone. Abraham was ready to sacrifice him when he was stopped. So he did receive him back. He was sure of what he had hoped for. Abraham was sure. Faith. So, leads us to the question, can we have such faith? The answer is yes. It's not always that simple. It's not always that easy. But can we have that kind of faith? Sure we can. If we pay close attention to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, talking about all these servants of God, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. We, on the other hand, we've received the promise, and we know the end of the story. And we've got the book that tells us this is how it ends. The Old Testament people didn't have that. They just had faith in a God that protected them, that took care of them, that led them. We know the promise of Jesus. We see from our Bibles that Jesus came and that he lived and that he loved and that he died on the cross for our sins, and he was the fulfillment of all the prophecy about the Messiah. We have seen the promise by reading about it. And so we know what the promise is. We're sitting on the other side of the promise. And we have it all recorded for us to know, to understand, and to live. See, if we believe that we can trust God and his word, we certainly ought to be able to live a life of faith. I mean, I want you to think about this a minute. Think about it in terms of parents and children. Why are little children normally not afraid to do anything? Why do they trust their parents with unwavering faith? I mean, it's not so much true today, but when our kids were young, you know, home computers were becoming the fad, and kids would get on there and do things, and they didn't care what they did, they didn't care what kind of buttons they pushed, because in their mind, if they broke it, mom and dad could fix it. How wrong they were about my generation. But that's what they believed. I mean, you set a little kid up, maybe stand him on a kitchen counter, and he jumps into your arms. Why? He knows you are going to catch him. He has no doubt that you are going to protect him or her. You're going to take care of the needs that they have. That's the way we need to trust God. We know that he is going to protect us. We know he is going to lead us. We know he is going to guide us. And just like parents with children, it's not always going to be a smooth road. It's not always going to go the way that we think it should. But when we put our hand in God's hand, we're still going to be surprised about things, but we're going to get to the right place at the right time. And we're going to get there with God because we have faith in Him. And as we talk about, faith is action. If you never have to prove your faith, as we said, it's not really faith. Remember, Noah built an ark. Abraham was to the point of offering the promised son. Having faith, especially in God, is far more than saying, "Yes, I believe." It's putting that faith in action. It's making it work. The story is told of Carl Wallenda crossing Niagara Falls on the high wire on a windy, rainy day. It had been planned for months and people kept telling him, "You don't want to do it. Let's cancel it." He said, "No, these people are here. We're going to do it." So he finally gets up on the wire. Slowly, he crosses, the wind whipping. He gets to the other side and the crowd erupts in applause. And he says, "How many think I can do it again?" They all said, "We believe you can." And so he goes back. Slowly, he makes it to the other side. So when he gets to the other side, the crowd erupts again. He says, "Who thinks I can do it again?" "Yes, you can do it again." He says, "Who wants to ride on my shoulders?" That's faith. "Yes, I believe you can do it, as long as I'm down here and you're up there." Faith takes action. It has to be demonstrated. James says in chapter 2, verse 17, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." We must believe to the point where we act. Then it becomes faith. So we can have that kind of faith. And Peter demonstrated this kind of faith by getting out of the boat. I want you to imagine this scene, this storm all around them. And these professional fishermen, some of them, are scared to death. And they see Jesus walking on the water. And I think this also kind of helps us to establish a parameter, if you will, of Peter's personality. "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you." Come. Peter just climbs out of the boat. He had faith that it was Jesus. And so he got out of the boat and started walking toward him. If you look at this in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 and 29, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. You think about what kind of faith that had to take. I mean, it'd be one thing to get out of the boat on a calm day and try to walk on the water. But this was a stormy, windy day. And we know that Peter eventually started to sink. But the faith that it took just to climb over that rail, just to believe that Jesus could make him do that. Peter demonstrated his belief by acting on it, causing it to become faith. That's how we can have that kind of faith. There's a sense and comfort and security in what we can see. We like to be able to hold on to things. We may not always see God's plan. However, we can be sure and certain of His promise. We can know what He says is true and right. In order to show faith, we've got to live by faith. That is, we must live our lives daily demonstrating that we believe that God's word is true, and we have to live our lives in such a way that we demonstrate we're certain of His promises. That's how we get the faith of Abel, of Noah, of Abraham, of Peter. We can be pleasing to God. We can live our life in such a way that we can look at God and say, I believe you. I trust you. I'm going to walk hand in hand with you, and I'm going to allow you to lead me no matter what. Oh, it's not always easy. But if we want to be pleasing to God, that's the kind of faith we need to have, to trust Him and to be certain of what His promises are. He has promised us, if we are true to Him and if we listen to Him, that we can receive eternal life. And the first step, of course, is being washed of your sins by going to God and saying, I need a Savior. Being immersed and coming up out of the waters of baptism, a child of God, a saved soul, and then asking Him to lead you every day and keeping your hand in Him. And you have that opportunity tonight if you need to be baptized. Christian, maybe you're struggling with your faith. Maybe you're struggling, you believe, but maybe you're struggling with the actions that go along with it. Go to God, pray to Him, ask Him for strength, ask Him for courage, ask Him for faith. Maybe you're struggling with something else completely, spiritual or physical, and you need prayers of the church. The church would be glad to pray for you and take you before God as we stand and as we sing.